I want to win now. Right. I don't give a damn about 30 years from now. I really don't. I want to win now. I want to win with these guys.
You know, all we're really thinking about
is championships.
Yeah, we weren't talking about any of this other stuff.
We've pissed.
We're talking about let's get this done. Yeah. You know?
All this garbage about do or die or about more about like bust, you know, Super Bowl or bust, all that kind of stuff. It's just so phony. I mean, anybody that says something like that has never actually accomplished anything. Because they understand it's about process and it's about who you become. You know, you want to win a championship, you got to become a champion. You got to be a champion. You got to do the things that champions do. And then you go in there and fight and you let the chips fly and see if you can win it. And that's what we've been doing. You know, our guys have been doing that at a championship level. We haven't won the championship yet. Okay? Is that going to be in our future? Who knows? No one knows the future. No one's given. We're not given to know the future. Read your Bible, you know. But we are given to take care of the day and today and what the moment and be in the moment and to, you know, take care of one another, have each other's back, share a vision, share an understanding, fight as hard as you can, you know, for that vision and understanding, for that brotherhood, for one another.
I think it was Leviticus that said the Ravens shall not win a championship this year. And alas, John Harbaugh was fired yesterday around 5:15. It leaked out. Fired, not a mutual parting of ways. He was fired. Some considerable reporting being done in the last 24 hours with John Harbaugh out. So, Jason, you've had some time to digest and I'm sure talk to some people. What do you think now about the decision the Ravens have made to fire John Harbaugh?
Well, everyone in this room thought it, all the data, years of data, and by data, I mean, obviously, wins, losses, results, the way they've lost, the fourth quarter collapses, what's happened when they face teams that are at their weight class or better than their weight class, when everything's on the line. You know, I'm not talking about a Monday night in San Francisco where you know you're already going to the playoffs and already winning the division. I'm talking about true money games. The last 5-6 years under Harbs, how did that go? You're looking at data points like what kind of things are coming out of the locker room and how circumspect are people being and how they speak about him. And all that led us to a conclusion that was if Bisciotti was engaged about winning now, then he was going to have to, I've been saying forever, fire the coach and the GM.
Got it.
But at least fire the coach. And that happened. Why did it happen? I think some of this crap about Lamar, like, just be careful where you're shopping for that. This wasn't like this owner hasn't had time to canvass the locker room. Like, this owner isn't in the building every day having lunch with Lamar. His first set of meetings were with Harbaugh. And I, from what I gather, Harbaugh was a little surprised about the nature of the first meeting. And kind of realized at that point that this might be it. And then they had a break and then they had another extensive meeting. And at that point, it was clear that Bisciotti believed this coaching staff needed to be pretty much overhauled. And after being here as long as he's been here and after firing all the coaches he's fired over the years, that Harbaugh did not want to let all these guys go, try to reassemble an entire staff. And then I'm going to stick with these players. I'm going to stick with the same people picking the players because nothing ever changes down the hallway. And I'm supposed to fire all these good men who I think are going to immediately get jobs elsewhere. And then you guys, I'm sure, are going to want some say because now I'm on notice on what the next staff looks like. And then I'm going to be fired in a year. Like, no, I'm not going to fire all those guys. So if that's the way you want to move your program forward, let me go too. And look, the idea that other people in the organization had been thinking about this forever. We've been talking about, everybody in this town's been talking about this since like the team was 1-6.
Mm-hmm.
So people have been aligning themselves. People have been getting their ducks in a row. And John Harbaugh is a savvy enough person to know, am I better off sticking here under their rules with a hodgepodge staff while all my guys go elsewhere and get 2- and 3-year deals? So now I can't, so when I'm fired in a year, I can't get those guys because they're still under contract. Or am I better just staying aligned with my guys? And now we're all out there together. Yeah. We're all going to make more money than this guy was going to pay us. And if somehow we don't, he's got to pay me the difference anyway. And I can go to these owners and say, you can get me. You can get Todd Monken. You can get Denard. I got the staff. Zach Orr is linebacker's coach. Like, he's You're not just buying Harbaugh. You're buying the whole, he's out there on the open market with his whole package. So, no, I'm not. I don't think any. The only surprising part was, would Bisciotti do it?
That's it. This needed to be done, but I was. You even asked me the question. I think it was 3:45 segment at that point. Do you think it's happening? And I was like, now that we're getting further removed from Sunday, I think the further along we get, the more likely that Harbs is here. But we knew that it needed to be done. But even when the news was officially announced in the middle of the segment
shocked.
For us,
yeah, Beltway Ben told us
it's still jarring.
It's jarring.
It's jarring because this guy had been here for 18 years, but it had run its course. This was a coach that experienced significant postseason success through the first 5 years of his career.
Unprecedented road playoff success.
First coach in NFL history to win a playoff game in each of his first 5 seasons, and that, of course, culminated with a Super Bowl championship. Over the last 13 years, the Ravens are 4-7 in the playoffs. 13 years. That's a long time. One conference championship, just 3 playoff wins since Lamar Jackson came here in 2018. And it gets to the point that you're saying, Jason, where both sides will benefit from this. I think John will be reinvigorated in a new organization, a new city. It's all new to him. And I think the Ravens, I think the fan base, everyone here, like, there's so much excitement and craziness now because there hasn't been a head coaching search here in 18 years. Yeah. Like this is a big deal. When you look at the coaching vacancies, which one of the teams is not like the other? You look at a bunch of just dumpster fire organizations, and then you have the Ravens atop it, and it's exciting. It's new.
Well, yeah, it's something. It's like you hate to say because you feel bad for the guy who got fired, but it's like a second Christmas. Like you're waiting to see what's under the tree as far as what comes to pass to be the next guy. And Jason, I'm hearing some of what you're like. I think wherever John goes, Todd Monken's with him. Yep. Like that's happening. It is interesting. He's got the power. If he wants that Giants job and he don't like Joe Shane, like that guy might not be the GM anymore if he wants to. If he wants to bring in like his own guy in that job.
And I think not only that, you're hearing some rumblings. Miami, hey McDaniel, hey Harbaugh's on the open market. We might jump from a current head coach that still is under contract.
Here in Tampa too.
Green Bay could open as
well.
I don't think he's in a rush, but of the jobs that are open right now, I think Atlanta's the one.
Really?
You win right away. It's a crappy division.
Yeah.
You bring Todd Monken with you. Todd Monken won a national championship running Georgia's offense. Like people are going, Monken to fix Penix.
Interesting.
Penix doesn't have to be great. The defense is already pretty good. You bring Denard, you bring Zach Orr. And remember, Rich McKay is finally out of the building.
Yes.
It's Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's a nice guy. Matt Ryan's going to be like, hey, you want to bring your own? And they've already fired the GM. Harbs doesn't have to come in and win a battle day one to wrest power away from a buffoon like Joe Shane, who should already have been fired. I can go somewhere where they've already cleared the deck for me. You think Matt Ryan's got a list of 8 potential GMs? I mean, he might, but you get John Harbaugh, you get that whole staff, and Harbs is like, I would like to bring this person and this person and this person for personnel. It's not like he's got to ask or demand.
Yeah.
It's like, of course.
Yeah.
So I think you could look at the ones where there's also, I don't think he wants to inherit somebody else's personnel problem. I'll say this. A lot of people are talking about John Harbaugh's letter and not mentioning the fans. That's not what struck me. Did you mention the GM in there?
He didn't mention it, yeah. No.
That's what struck people around the league. Yeah. I got multiple texts about that. Did you find it interesting that Harbaugh didn't mention DaCosta in there anywhere? I mean, DaCosta was already established here when he got here. His whole professional career has been working with DaCosta.
Remember during COVID, they were on the fence together?
They're neighbors.
Yeah. The owners always paired. They were paired until they weren't. Their contracts are going to be lined up. They're tied together. I'm tying them together. Interesting.
We have a massive Wednesday show as we try to come to grips with John Harbaugh being gone and who could be next as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. Guest-wise, well, college football playoffs start back up again tomorrow. Tim Murray from VSiN, his best bets at 3:30. Aaron Schatz, the inventor of DVOA, will get his thoughts on the Harbaugh firing and how bad were the Ravens, analytically speaking. He joins at 4. And Bull Smolka wrote an interesting piece about Eric DaCosta should be taking some of the brunt about the failures this season. That's why we're originally having him on, but obviously, we got to get his thoughts on what's going on here with John Harbaugh being fired.
Yeah, I mean, this is the dominant topic in this town for the foreseeable future. We will discuss different sorts of profiles, who Mike Bisciotti be inclined to go with, and we'll also talk about individual candidates, and we'll continue to do that at length in the days and the weeks to come. Yeah, I mean, this is unprecedented, relatively unprecedented terrain for this franchise.
Coming up next. So now they need a head coach. Well, who makes sense? We'll discuss next here on The Fan. John Harbaugh out as coach of the Baltimore Ravens after 18 years. So now you have to turn the page. And who's next? And I've heard a lot of Jesse Minter. I've heard some Chris Shula, Brian Flores. Jason, who makes sense to you?
Well, we got a six-pack coming up of the guys. I just wonder, in terms of profile, if you're talking about resume, experience, what should resonate the most, what will resonate the most? Like, it's fair to say the Baltimore Ravens are a mess right now, a bit of a mess. Mm. Across, they're in uncharted territory. They've underachieved for a while now. Coaching staff's completely wiped out. A lot of roster questions. So they're a mess. So whose mess is it? Who owns this mess? Because we're a show that we're up front. I like to think we're pretty smart. You want to set expectations and you want to assign responsibility so that as things play out, blame and credit are handed out accordingly. So who owns this mess right now? Who do you guys think?
Well, right
owns
now this the mess? GM owns the mess. Yeah, he put the roster together.
Okay.
He
said it a couple weeks ago where this is how it works in sports. You fire the coach, you fire the manager. GM's on the hot seat.
So this is you guys saying it, not me. So the GM is going to be responsible for the outcome of this coach.
100%.
So if the coach isn't up for it, if the coach has game management issues, if the coach is out there in the middle of the season saying, well, hey, guys, I haven't done, like, I'm learning on the fly here. There's no textbook for this. We're not going to point at the coach. We're going to point at who?
No, it's Eric.
And Steve.
And Steve. I think Steve's going to have a huge hand in who the next coach is going to be.
Okay. But Steve, in the building right now, who is their highest paid non-player in that building currently employed there?
I would assume Eric makes more than Sashi.
Yeah. And he's head of football ops, and they're about to recast their coaching staff.
Correct.
So the coaching staff is on Eric DaCosta. We don't ever have to relitigate this in the future. We're addressing it now. Right? Okay. So it's Eric's mess, and Eric's got to fix the mess, or Eric has to go. I think they need a total culture reset.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to be challenged in ways they haven't been challenged before. And I think prior experience with the organization, understanding the Raven way under John and Eric and Ozzy, might not actually be the best thing. But what name have I been bringing up for 3 or 4 weeks now? The only name, really, I've brought up repeatedly on this show.
Jesse Minter.
And I've said, buyer beware.
Yeah.
Caveats attached.
I got to be honest, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the more I think about Jesse Minter, the less I like it because he's, like, for multiple reasons. Number one, he's been in the building. Number two, he's a Harbaugh tree guy. And if you just fire John Harbaugh, then why do you want to bring in a guy from the same tree? But I
agree with all that.
Yeah.
And look, I love what he's done defensively. I love what a lot of guys in the league have done defensively. But if it's Jesse Minter, and other GMs, big-time coaching agents, everybody thinks it's going, if DaCosta gets his way, the industry thinks. This isn't one or two people.
No.
This is six or seven people over the course of, I've been taking people's temperature for weeks about this. They all, first thing off, Jesse Minter. Why? Well, that's what DaCosta would want. He's been here before. He was here as a really young coach, first-time head coach. He'll be malleable. He understands all of their analytics, all of the ways that they're driven. At the NFL level, he was bled in on that.
Mm-hmm.
So
and he's going to be controllable, and you'll be able to help him pick his staff. For all those reasons, I think he might be great anywhere, but we would all agree, John Harbaugh was no longer the right guy for the 2026 Baltimore Ravens. I will contend that Jesse Minter, who I think would be a slam dunk anywhere else for where this franchise is, for the egomaniac running the personnel department, I think he would be set up to fail here because there would not be guardrails, and you would be giving even more power to a general manager who I think, and a lot of people in the industry think, should have been fired with the coach.
Well, let me go along those lines because people are throwing out this name, and it's different because he's more experienced, but it's a lot of the same. People mentioning Anthony Weaver. That's kind of the same.
That would be even odder to me.
Yeah.
I'm with you. But I just wanted to throw
I don't see that at all.
Because if they really wanted to keep Anthony Weaver in the building, they could have kept Anthony Weaver in the building.
Yeah.
So that would be even odder to me. But so I'm not saying I think Jesse Minter's qualified. Jesse Minter, if I did a six pack of best coaching candidates in general, he'd be one or two. For this place, knowing the personalities involved, knowing that they got into this mess by believing their own BS year after year after year when the industry's saying you're building your team backwards. When I'm saying, what's your offensive line? What's your defensive line? I'm not saying that because I'm saying that because smart people are telling me. I get it. They work over the media. Albert Breer thinks they're the greatest team ever. Peter King thinks Matabike is going to Hall of Fame. Chris Collinsworth has already put Kyle Hamilton and Canton on a broadcast. But maybe the roster's really not that good. Like, maybe they're built in kind of a backwards, ridiculous manner. But, like, you think Jesse Minter's coming in here and telling them the way you're doing it is wrong? Jesse Minter's going to come into the interview already knowing the answers to the test because DaCosta's going to give him the test beforehand.
I'll say this, and I talked to some people last night who took Jesse Minter is universally praised.
He should
be.
I think he'll be great. I don't want him here.
And I'm with you. Because you just fired John Harbaugh. He's a John and Jim Harbaugh guy. Like it doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't. Like, I think if you just fired John, you want a different voice than the Harbaugh tree, don't you?
Well, let's go down this path. Where did Adolphe Owe get traded?
Chargers.
Now, did we hear a whole lot of smoke about Owe being shopped all over the place? Did you read anywhere?
No.
A single, anybody, I read articles, 50 trades that should happen before. Did you see a Loey Gilman's name shopped as one of the 50 guys who people want? And did you see a single rumor, hey, this team is really hot after Owe? Did you read any of it?
No.
No.
Did you hear it anywhere?
I'll admit, I never heard of a Loey Gilman until the Ravens acquired him.
But that was the trade. That was the trade. Now, do people who run other NFL teams think that Eric DaCosta is insecure and Machiavellian enough to have orchestrated a trade where if it works, he wins? If it doesn't work, it's because Owe played well for the Chargers. Under what coordinator?
That'd be Jesse Minter.
Now, hey, boss, because this is how it works. I'm telling you how the sausage is made. The guy's on the sidelines coaching for his life, and when he's not, when the GM's not on the sidelines, when it's halftime, when they're on the plane, the GM's talking to the owner. So the GM could go to the owner and say, we couldn't get crap out of, I think always great. Our analytics guy thinks always great. You know who thinks always great? Jesse Minter. Jesse Minter and Joe Ortiz who were here, they thought he would be great. He's a 14-sack guy there. These bums couldn't get anything out of him. It's not me, boss. It couldn't be me. Boom. Oh, and by the way, Jesse Minter was in our building before, boss. I think he'd be a great head coach.
It is a theory.
It's not a theory. Who in the media, what draft Nick is and was used to work here, is embedded with here, is talking to them all the time?
When he says it,
we know where it's coming from. Yeah. He's tweeted about this job, the best job available. Everybody thinks it's the best job available. Not me.
Is.
The industry. He's tweeted about one guy being the best guy for this job. I'll give you one chance to guess who he's tweeted about.
Jesse Minter.
We can go to break.
It's Jesse Minter. Coming up next, it's six-pack time, and we said Jesse Minter seems to be the industry.
He ain't going
to
be in my six-pack, and I just told you why. I'm not saying he's not great. He will not be in my six-pack. That will be the imminent demise.
It's the six-pack of the best guys to be the head coach of the Ravens. We'll give you our list next here on The Fan. Six-pack time. Six-pack sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Come in and try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Go to goodfeet.com for more details. John Harbaugh gone. Who's our six-pack of ARP fits for the next Ravens coach? Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
So I at six, I did a bit of a combo platter. If you want to go outside the box veteran, I put Belichick or Saban at six. I don't think it's likely, but if Steve wants to go with someone like the theory that he's going to sell the team within 5 years and he wants to win now, if he thinks that's the thing, I put them at six.
Couple names I want to mention. I don't think these people will get a head coaching job. I don't think they'll get this head coaching job. I would interview them under the auspices of the head coach because the teams basically have to let them interview. And then I would try to get one of them maybe as my offensive or defensive coordinator. But I want to talk to Josh McCown. Josh McCown's interviewed for multiple head coaching jobs. He played the game as a quarterback forever, was in a bunch of organizations. Howie Roseman told me 5 or 6 years ago, Josh McCown will be a head coach in this league sooner rather than later. He's got that ish to him, special sauce. Coaches are coming in different varieties now. He has interviewed twice before for head coaching gigs. I would talk to Josh McCown. I would try to get Josh McCown around Lamar Jackson for an interview. Like I just would do it and see where that went. I also want to talk to Scott Milanovich. Remember him from University of Maryland, quarterback? He's won a Grey Cup as a head coach in the CFL. He's coached three CFL teams. He's been a quarterback coach for multiple NFL teams. He's coaching the Hamilton Ticats right now. I would talk to Scott Milanovich. I think he's a winner. I know a lot of guys who used to be in the CFL, former CFL GMs, guys who scout the CFL. I've heard nothing but great things about him, and he could probably make more money as your OC here than he's making as the head coach of the Hamilton Ticats. Jim Leonard, I would talk to as well. Yeah. He was Wisconsin's interim head coach for a period of time. He's obviously played here, but it's not like he was a Harbaugh coaching creation per se. I think he's someone who could maybe fit on this staff in a multitude of ways. As for my official number six, I only have one guy on this list who hasn't been a head coach before, and it is the Jags D coordinator, Anthony Campanelli. A lot of people who told me years ago, before I knew who Ben Johnson was, that Ben Johnson's a stud, put me onto this guy very early in the summer. I'm pretty tight with a couple people in the Jags organization, and they're like, this guy came in, inherited the second worst defense in the NFL. Only Carolina had a worse defense last year. They brought literally all the players back. They moved a couple positions around. They took an inside linebacker, made him an outside linebacker, made minor free agent signings. I bring that up because these guys aren't going to make major free agent signings. And all of a sudden, Jacksonville's culture has completely changed. Their defense has completely changed. There are 22 interceptions. They're turning people over. Everybody's in the right spot. They swarm to the ball. He's a North Jersey guy. He gets this area of the country. He comes from a coaching family. I know he's only been the D coordinator for 1 year, but I love what he did in Green Bay before that. Ideally, I want somebody who's coached before, but if we're talking the Minter types, and I'm not putting Minter in this list because we just did a whole segment on that, I think of a first-time guy, Campanelli. I really trust the people who vouch for this guy.
Number five.
I put Jimmy Schwartz at five. Look, he. A lot of people have done a way worse job in Detroit than he did, and that was at a point in time when the Ford family was extremely lost. We know what he's done in Cleveland. He knows this roster inside out. He knows how he did it. He did as good a job of shutting down Derrick Henry as anybody. So he knows it from that side. He knows some of these guys from when he was in Cleveland. He's been gone so long that he certainly predated Harbaugh. So he's not a Harbaugh guy. He's from this area. I put Schwartz at five.
I reluctantly put Jesse Minter at five because so many people
I think he's getting the job.
Yeah, I don't like the hire, and I articulated why, but I've heard from so many that, like, and this is not just the people tweeting, vouching, and the Daniel Jeremiah's of the world, but people think this guy is a future coaching star. I don't like going from Harbaugh to Harbaugh guy, but I put him at five.
Number four.
I put Chris Shula at four. I think I went about this a little bit different than Jason because I just going based on what Steve Bisciotti did 18 years ago, he wanted a young up-and-coming guy. I have a little pause because of the defensive coordinators that have come out of that tree have not had success, But I like what he's done with the Rams. I put him at four.
I put Jeff Hafley at four. He was a head coach at BC. BC has produced some coaches. Tom Coughlin,
yeah,
coached at BC.
You saw Zay Flowers.
I love what he's done in Green Bay. I love what he did last year when he didn't have Parsons. I even don't mind how he's adjusted after losing Parsons in season. A lot of people in this league think he's ready. And I'm looking at it like head coaching experience matters because we played that clip to open the show. He's saying, I want to win tomorrow. It's hard to win tomorrow with some dude who's never done it before or never been close to doing it before.
Yeah, I'll lean Jason. I don't want anything to do with Bill Belichick. I don't want anything to do with Bill. I don't want him anywhere near Baltimore at this point. But also, that's going to be my TMI later on in the show, is kind of comparing where this organization was in 2008 when they hired John, an unproven guy, to now. That was my gut yesterday. I think they want someone with experience this go around.
Six pack of guys that we want the Ravens to hire to replace John Harbaugh and Beltway Ben. Let's continue.
Number three.
I put Brian Flores at three. I'm maybe I'm too empathetic. Maybe I'm too much of a second chance guy, because I was chronicling it in real time at CBS, and the way he flamed out in Miami and the way he alienated everybody and the way he acted like a demagogue and a dictator and a wannabe Belichick was ugly and shameful. And we'll talk more about him. I sent, I don't know if you saw.
Yeah, the Ryan Fitzpatrick. Not good. Yeah. Not good.
I mean, but people do change and people do evolve. And I think he's a defensive savant. And I think people gravitate to him. And I think the locker room would buy in immediately. And he did do some good. It's not like he was a total disaster as Miami's head coach. And he's a Belichick guy and the Belichick family tree. Yeah. We all know it hasn't really worked, but if it ever works, and if one of those guys truly does shed their skin and change their ways the second time, I think it could be him. And I think if an Aussie is still around in the building, and an owner like Bisciotti, I don't know. He would see I think he'd see a little bit of craft in Bisciotti and be on his best behavior. I put him at three.
He was on my original list. I heard a lot of bad smoke about him last night. I had to pull him. Three is a guy the Ravens just requested an interview with, Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks, who has made that offense. He made Sam Darnold look pretty damn good. And that offense and Mike McDonald's team is very good. They're the one seed in the NFC, and I like what he's done with Sam Darnold. That running game, quite frankly.
You mentioned
number two.
My fear with Clint Kubiak is personality-wise, he's a little too much like McDaniel.
Oh, my two, and this is the miracle scenario. The Steelers get blown out Monday night. Mike Tomlin. Tomlin.
Did you put him too?
No. Which I'm on record. I would have traded him. In November, I'd have traded Harbs in a three for him. I wanted an in-season trade. Yeah. I wanted an in-season trade.
They get blown out Monday night. Mike Tomlin gets blown out.
He would be my number one. He'd be on his own list. There would be a six-pack, six reasons to hire Mike Tomlin.
I don't. He's my two.
I don't want. Well, my two is also the dream scenario, and I just... It's Freeman / Lanning / Cignetti. It would be one of those three college. Those guys built programs overnight. I mean, Oregon's always been good, but this dude returned the cutting edge immediately.
Yeah.
Those three, I think, are program changers, culture changers. If you could get one of those, and they've been successful head coaches. So I put that scenario at two.
Number one.
I put Steve Spagnuolo at number one.
Huh.
That defense. Who's done a better job at completely shutting them down?
Nobody.
Than Steve Spagnuolo. Steve Spagnuolo comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree. Where did Harbs come from? I think it's ridiculous that nobody's hired Spags. He's 65. He's not an age difference. He's pretty he's
similar to
clustered Harbs. To Harbs. He's been a head coach before. It was with the Rams. It was with the owner lived in Colorado and the Rams were still in St. Louis and everybody knew Kevin Demoff's trying to move the Rams to LA. It was an impossible scenario. But this guy, he coached in Philadelphia. He coached with the Giants. He understands the Northeast. He understands coaching in the Northeast. I think he'd fit in this division immediately. That defense would be better the moment he stepped in the building. And unlike a lot of these other mooks at this stage of his career, hey, Eric, if I don't want that player, I'm not coaching that player.
player. Like, there would be checks. Like, Spags gets one more bite at the apple, if he ever gets another bite at the apple. And I also wanted to throw in Dave Tobe. I would interview Dave Tobe, and he's never been a head coach before, but he's been around Andy Reid forever. If you wanted to go back that way, you worked with a special teams coach once. Now, Harv's at a different point in his career than Dave Tobe. But for me, I think Spags comes in here and would I'd be all about it. I want Spags.
I don't think Phil Knight's ever going to let Dan Lanning out of Oregon.
I don't think so either.
But I love that idea. But my one is Kurt Cignetti. Like, Google him. He wins. He wins everywhere. I love the idea. And I think there's more of a chance than there would be with Dan Lanning.
I like the Spags idea. I don't know if he'd be my one, but I lean more into Jason with the experience. And also the Tomlin is
Tomlin's great.
Like Harbaugh going to Pitts. I think both of those organizations probably want different guys at this point because they are pretty much the same guy when you look at the success that they've had. And it's been a lot, but I think both want
Jason has warned different. Me to the idea of Tomlin with Lamar Jackson. I think that
I'd be
could
all
be
about Mike Tomlin.
That could be something.
I don't think it'll happen.
No, I don't think it'll happen either.
But
I don't think it'll happen. Spags, you're trying to win with Lamar in the next 3 years. I think he'd put young people in the staff that maybe he could hand it off to.
I wouldn't hate it.
I'm here for it.
Coming up next, what do the people think? 410-583-1057. John Harbaugh out. Who do you want to be the next coach of the Baltimore Ravens? We hear from the people next here on The Fan. Packed phone lines. Let's get to the people. 410-583-1057. John Harbaugh gone. Who would you like to see next head coach of the Baltimore Ravens be? Let's start with our friend Ron in Owings Mills. He's been holding for a while. Ron, you're on The Fan.
Clint Kubiak, Kenny. I like Clint Kubiak.
He made my list.
I think I wish John well. It was never personal. It was just the coaching, Ken. I was only talking about the coaching on the field. He's a good man, and he's gonna get paid. But I think, I don't know Clint Kubiak personally, but I heard you say that they just requested an interview with
they
him.
They did.
And I like him a lot because Gary was here. He's doing great things in Seattle. I think Lamar and Derrick Henry would fit that type of offense. Look, Gary, I think he's in his 60s. He's had health issues, but maybe I know Bisciotti really liked Gary Kubiak. Maybe Gary wants to come on board as a quarterback's coach. Clint, to me, I get it, his personality, but I think an offensive mind like Clint, get the best defensive coordinator out there, Kenny, and I think Lamar has a chance to win a championship here. So we'll see. I don't know, but Kenny, to me, this has to be done. It was never personal, and that's all I got.
Appreciate it. Jason, what about the idea of Clint as the coach and his brother Clay as the offensive coordinator? You don't
that's
like it?
That's a lot of nepotism. Yeah. No, I don't want Clint. I don't want Clint. I'll take him as an OC. You can't get him as an OC.
Yeah.
That sets off a lot of bells for me. Not in a good way. Alarm bells.
Like I said, I'm going to give whoever they hire a chance.
Yeah.
I would prefer it to be someone with experience. Sure. Absolutely. Interview them. Go through the process.
Talk to 20 people. Who cares? This guy hasn't done this in 18 years.
Have it be an exhaustive list. Interview all these guys. But I would prefer experience.
Let's go to Paulie in Arbutus. Paulie, you're on The Fan.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I got three. First one I do not want here, and I would come with a pitchfork to the castle. It's Kingsbury.
No, that one. They're not that stupid.
And I keep seeing that, and it makes me
that's media people being whores.
Now,
it's just a fact. They're being whores for agents and coaches who they like.
Right. For an older coach, I would go. I'd take Chucky, man. I would like Gruden and Lamar together. But that's the older coach because we were talking about Spags. The younger coach, you know what? I kind of like Freeman, man.
I mean, Freeman is stuck
in some way. You know, to get him out of Notre Dame, I think that'd be a perfect fit. It's just, I think he's glued to Notre Dame, and I just hope maybe somebody can sway him out. Under Armour, you know what I mean? A little bit of Under Armour pay in there.
I don't know if I think that time may have passed.
Yeah, I don't know if they got that kind of scratch.
I think that was pre the collapsed hotel in Fells Point and a whole development project that looks like.
I appreciate the call. Yeah, I love the idea of Marcus Freeman, but and if not for the fact that he said he's staying, he might have made my list.
You should explore it.
Yeah, I would place a call at least to his agent and let that.
Work. I would fly out to Notre Dame and
wine and dine him.
Yeah,
whatever that good restaurant is there near Notre Dame campus. Take him out to dinner. See what he's got to say.
No, I wouldn't want to go. I wouldn't want to go there. I'd bring a personal chef with me and cook a meal in his place. I don't want it all out in the
streets. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, Steve's got a chef. Let's go to Joe in Baltimore. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Hi. I love this show.
Thank you.
I've been listening on and off today, and I have a question regarding all of your selections. Which one would be the closest personality-wise with the spit and fire to charge his troops to follow him into battle, like a Bill Cowher or Vrabel?
Huh. Would you say Flores?
Flores does have a lot of spit and vinegar.
Flores has got, let's just say he's got an edge.
He might have too much.
Yeah, but again, I he's been around some really smart coaches since the collapse. I mean, he was around Tomlin. He's with O'Connell. Yeah. He's seen yin and yang. And his defenses can match Andy Reid's defenses, and his defenses are built to stop the Shanahan-McVay family tree. They don't like running into those coaches. Part of the reason I think D'Amico Ryans could win the whole thing, he's kind of that same way. He came from that whole thing. He understands that thing inside out. Yeah. He knows how to stop that thing. That thing ain't going away. That coaching tree ain't going away. Some of them are mooks like Zach Robinson. Some of them are really good like Liam Cohen.
Yeah, who we thought was a mook.
He had mook potential.
He did have mook potential. Let's go to Ken in Annapolis. Ken, you're on the Fan.
Hi. I think I'm a Brian Flores guy. I think him, the blitzes that he can scheme up. If we're never going to draft a pass rusher or trade for a pass rusher, we have to get creative at that point. Another prediction that I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on is I think Harbs waits a year. I don't think he signs with any of the teams right now that are looking for a head coach, and I would like to see but I think he maybe teams up with Cincinnati in a year.
Ooh, I don't see him. I'd be real surprised if he worked for Mike Brown.
Does he really want to be in this division after
being
here so long?
If he went in the division, it would be Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows what – I mean, Haslam, but that's his team. Him and his brother were in the backyard pretending to be Cleveland Browns, pretending to be
Brian
Cleveland
Sipe
at the time, Indians.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, he's from the cradle of coaches, Miami of Ohio. Like, that, but you've got that Deshaun Watson situation. They're keeping Andrew Berry. Like, I can't imagine he would be real interested in going from DaCosta to Andrew Berry. Like,
I thought you bringing up Atlanta was very interesting. And also, if LaFleur gets canned in Green Bay, I think
Green Bay would be a really nice fit.
Green Bay
His
would
agent,
be a great fit.
Brian Harlan, who's Kevin Harlan's
brother,
their dad, Bob Harlan, worked for the Packers forever. Yes. Synonymous with that, Frank. Like, and I mean, that would be Harbaugh in Green Bay. Like, his dad would be in it. I mean, that would be.
He
like
would love that.
That franchise, that. An iconic franchise like that. Yeah.
What do you think the chances are that LaFleur gets pushed out? Like, if they lose this weekend,
there are definitely people who run NFL teams who think there is at least some possibility that, you know, they're different. They don't have one owner. They've got basically a committee that they meet and they're kind of like, we, especially with a Harbaugh out there, that if we don't want to give this guy an extension at $15 million a year or whatever, then maybe we let him go now.
It's great.
Because look, Halfley's probably leaving.
Yeah.
The special teams coach still can't get it done. So there's Bisacci up there. They're going to start over there. They may lose some other coaches. And Harbaugh's out there.
By the way, and I mentioned it quickly when you mentioned his name. Halfley was Zay Flowers' head coach at Boston College. And my understanding is Zay Flowers is a huge fan of Halfley. So they were on very good terms. So that is an interesting name. Let's quickly grab TJ. TJ, you're on the Fan.
How you guys doing?
Hey there.
So I am a Browns fan, but I'm not calling a troll or anything like
that. It's all good.
So first of all, the one of the reasons I keep hearing is because Harbaugh got let go because he didn't want to let his his coordinators go. Do you think it's more of a possibility that he didn't want to let Zach Orr go over Monken? Like, he was okay with letting Monken go, but not Zach Orr? I mean, he played for him. He had him as a player. He went through the ranks of coaching through the organization outside that 1 year in Jacksonville. And a name I want to throw out there for you guys is Robert Saleh. I think he would get the most out of you guys in that locker room. You're bringing in a defensive mind. You get a good, strong offensive coordinator in there to help out with Lamar Jackson. I think that'll be a good fit for you guys.
Appreciate the call.
I'm not a Robert Saleh.
Yeah, I'm not either. Yeah. I've heard that he was, Jason, I don't know what you've heard, but I heard he wasn't keen on getting rid of either coordinator. Like, he didn't
want to do anything. He's sick of, and it's not even really the coordinator. Like, he was going to have to rebuild his staff
here. Yeah.
Like,
the offensive line coach, the offensive coordinator, at least one other position coach, defense, defensive coordinator, linebackers, coaches. Like it was sweeping changes that Bashaud, and I don't play, I understand where Bashaud was coming from. But that's why we thought this was coming to a head. It was just a matter of, would the owner recognize that it's coming to a head?
John Harbaugh done as head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. What is his legacy? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.